I'm not Brother Ben. That's okay, Eddie. No, that's not your mistake. Ben's a little under the weather. I understand that he stopped at McDonald's yesterday for lunch and became violently ill soon after for the rest of the day. So that just is a good lesson for us where not to eat at, right, Ben? Did you have some of that fake meat?
No.
Okay. All right, but we're glad that he's at least able to be here and taught class this morning. Few things irritate me more than going to a fast food joint to eat, and I don't go to McDonald's, but going somewhere and standing behind two or three people, and they, you know, when you go there, they have all the menus up on the wall behind where the kids, usually kids, take your order, right? And they've got deal number one, number two, number three. You know, they may have 14 or 15 different meals for you to select from. And we've all seen those people that walk up and say, let's see, number one, what does all that have on it? And they'll go through all each of the selections. No, I don't want that. What about number two? And pretty soon you're ready for supper or dinner because you're standing in line because someone who cannot form an opinion or cannot come to a decision. I want to talk about opinions this morning. Your opinion or my opinion and God's opinion. I gave this sermon about 3 years ago, and I do not apologize for giving it again, because just like the Lord's Supper we just observed, when it comes to God's Word or when it comes to worshiping God, we repeat ourselves pretty much continually. But yet, it's still relevant, it's still important, and because it is God's Word, because it is service to God, it can be new each time we do it. So what is an opinion? Have you thought about that much? I think we could say it could be your belief or understanding about something. How do you form your opinion? Well, we can form our opinion in many ways, can't we? To form the right opinion, we must have the right information about the subject. If we have the wrong information, no doubt we will come to the wrong conclusion. We'll probably form the wrong opinion if we have the wrong information. We see a lot of that today in this age of instant technology and instant communication across the world. People, and I've been guilty of this, maybe we all have, we form an opinion too quick. We think, yeah, that's right. And then we get to looking at it, we get to read about it a little bit more, and we understand, no, that's not right. I didn't dig deep enough, I didn't understand the details, so I formed the wrong opinion. We need to be careful about that. If we have the details and don't use those, if we have all that information we need but we don't use them, we may not have an opinion. We've probably all asked someone or been asked, well, what do you think about some daily matter that we are involved in? Some earthly matter. And I'm sure we've all replied from time to time, well, I don't care. It doesn't really matter to me. And, you know, maybe it doesn't. And that really doesn't matter, does it? But when it comes to God's Word, when it comes to our spiritual life, we better have an opinion. And the reason is God has an opinion. And our opinion had better line up with God's. It better be God's opinion, and we just use that information. We all do show our opinion on things. whether we say so or not. Many people are noncommittal. They want to straddle the fence. They're afraid to take a stance. They're afraid, well, they might not like what I have to say, or they might not be friends with me anymore, or things might not go good at my work. So I'll just sit on the fence. What's the group of people that we see doing that the most? Politicians. They're experts at that. They're experts at not committing one way or the other because they want everybody's vote. They want to stay where they're at. That's not what we see in God's Word. And if we're going to be a child of God and pattern our life after Christ, we must have an opinion. And in fact, we do show our opinion. Even when we don't decide, we do decide. We do decide by inaction many times. But if we are to be saved, when it comes to our spiritual life, it must be God's opinion. Most of the religious world believes that God is loving and merciful. And that's right. He is. He is both of those things. And I'm very thankful that He is. Because I would be lost if He wasn't. Because I need God's mercy. However, most of the religious world believes it's up to you and me to serve God however we want. We'll find our own path to salvation. Because God is loving and merciful, right? As long as we do good things, we help other people, we're going to make it. Well, God's opinion is that is wrong. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I'll read verses 4 through 7. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We hear the word one is in there. There's seven different categories here. And in the Bible we know that the number seven, it denotes completeness or perfection. There's one body. And what body is that? It's Christ's body. He established this church. It goes by His name, and it goes by His doctrine. And if it doesn't, it's not His church. And if we're not in it, we're lost. That's what God says. That's God's opinion. So my opinion has to be the same, doesn't it? If my opinion is otherwise, then I'm wrong. But I'm not here to talk about the religious world outside of the true church. I'm here to talk about God's will for us and His opinion. In Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 12, I want to read a couple verses here that tell us there's one way back to God. Man left God in the Garden of Eden, and God drove him out of the garden, and the garden reverted back to thistles and thorns. And exactly where it was at, nobody knows. We think we have a pretty good idea, but nobody knows. Because God did away with it. And in Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 12, we are shown that there is one way back to God. God didn't just condemn all mankind because Adam sinned. He gave a way for everyone to come back. Peter, preaching here, said, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole." Peter had just healed a man. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There's only one way back to God. Ephesians 5 and 23, He is the Savior of the body. As Eric spoke a few minutes ago, the church is the bride of Christ or the body of Christ, and He's going to save it. He's going to save His body, not any other body. And I'm glad that Matt read the last chapter of God's Word for us this morning, because in the closing verses of the last chapter of the Bible, the last man that God spoke to on earth, John, the Apostle John, he said, do not add to, do not take away from the words of this book. Okay? So why would God change His mind 500 years, 1,000 years later, and decide, I said all those things, but I'm going to pick some mortal man, and I'm going to reveal something new to him, something additional that we don't have in God's Word. Well, God didn't do that, but many religious bodies say that's what happened, and they follow these people. And they follow them by millions because they have been deceived by Satan. God has changed nothing since the last revelation to the Apostle John. So consider your opinion on spiritual matters. It doesn't matter if you buy combination 1, 2, or 3 at the fast food joint. It doesn't matter at all. You don't have to have an opinion on that. Buy something one day and something else the next day, and don't go the third day. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. But our opinion when it comes to God and what He wants matters greatly. Our actions or our lack of actions actually scream out to people what we believe. We may think, well, nobody really knows how I feel on a certain subject, but as time goes by, they do. They do. They see it in you. They see it in your children. They see it in those around you. Those are the fruits of how you live and how I live. And you know what? That's God's opinion. Luke 6, verses 43 through 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. We will produce what's in our heart. Think about that. We will produce what's in our heart. That's, I think, another way of saying what I just read. If you don't know about your opinion, if you don't know if your opinion is right or not, how do you find out? Right here. We read, we study, we talk with others that know. God's not going to tell us to do something and not give us the information to do it, is it? Is God going to hold us accountable for all eternity and then leave us ignorant of what He wants us to do? Of course not. But sadly, there are members of the church who obey the gospel through baptism and then adopt the attitude of the religious world. God's mercy will take care of me. I don't really need to understand all I need. I'll just coast. Or as Clayton's spent a couple of weeks talking about, coasting is really drifting. We'll just drift along. We'll just stay in the middle. We don't want to stick out. Revelation's the third chapter, verses 15 and 16. That's called being lukewarm, and it makes God want to vomit. God wants you to work. He wants you to have zeal. He wants you to have some fire. Jesus told John in this revelation to send to the church at Laodicea, "I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot." I could wish that you were cold or hot. Or in other words, I wish you were one or the other. "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And one of the problems that they had there was riches, cares of the world. They had forgotten God because they were rich. And that's one of the great tools of Satan, is when a person becomes rich, is to forget God. What is the fruit of that person? Well, Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's pretty much impossible. Not totally impossible, because with God, all things are possible. We know Abraham was righteous. He became a very rich man. But his nephew Lot, who also became very rich, was nowhere close to being as righteous as Abraham, was he? In fact, he barely escaped with his life. The angels drug him and his wife and his daughters out of the city. We were just talking about this the other day, and I had this thought I've never had before. You know, Lot's wife turned and looked back. Do you suppose that when this happened to her, she turned to a pillar of salt, that maybe she screamed or maybe made some kind of a sound? We don't know. But guess what? Lot did not turn around and look at his wife either, did he? He didn't. They went on. That's what God commanded. That's how wicked it all was. And Lot, if you read that account, you'll see that the angels, or these men, took Lot and his family, I believe, by the hand and actually drug them, led them out of the city. And if not for them, they probably would have perished also. That is the hold Satan had on them. Judgment begins at the house of God, 1 Peter 4 and 17. And I think in the first three chapters of Revelation, we see that Jesus, through the Apostle John, was displaying that upon the churches in Ephesus. They had problems, and he wanted to set them straight to save them. God has an opinion, and it's the only one that counts. So how do we form our religious opinions? Okay? We're not concerned about what it is we eat each day. I mean, that opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion about what car you drive doesn't matter, the house you live in, etc. But how do we form our religious opinions? Well, I came up with four here. Number one, I believe that many people form their opinion by simply listening to someone who sounds intelligent and thinking, well, that sounds good. They're a smart person. That all makes sense to me. Sadly, that's how much of the religious world, I believe, comes to their opinion. That's the easy way, isn't it? I don't have to study. I don't have to look and see if that person is actually speaking the truth. And we see many people misled. We see hundreds of thousands of people misled on television. That's how televangelists get their money. They speak pleasing words. Many times they speak to people that if they will send money, they can be saved or they can avoid some catastrophe. It's just not true. Another way is by reading a Bible commentary and accepting it simply because someone wrote that book. And they're more knowledgeable than me. They really have studied a lot. Therefore, they must know what they're talking about. Well, they may know more than you or me. Okay? And I encourage people to read a Bible commentary. I do that. But I don't base my opinion just on what someone says because they're a religious scholar. What about what God says? Do we check it by the Bible? That's what we must do. Do we choose a third way? Do we choose one of the thousands of opinions that we see on the internet? It's really almost disturbing. You can just go to the internet and within a few clicks, if you want, you can have a whole sermon. You can have a whole class, man or woman, it doesn't matter. You can just click on something and teach it to your kids. That's scary. Or, number four, do we find out what the details of God's opinion are on the Bible, as we're told to do in 2 Timothy 2:15? Do we study and show that we are approved to be a workman of God? In Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 10 through 12, the Jews at Berea searched the Scriptures daily to find out if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth or not. And they weren't searching the New Testament because they didn't have it. They were searching the old Scriptures and trying to put prophecy and the old Mosaic law. They were trying to understand if that fit together with the new Christianity that Paul was teaching. They were looking for God's opinion. You know, speaking in generalities makes it very easy for the hearer to dismiss or minimize a statement on their life. So in other words, as I speak to you today, if I speak in generalities and I don't speak in details, it's very easy for you to say, yeah, that's right, but, you know, how does that apply to me? And if we do that, we deceive ourselves. We have to understand that God's Word applies to each one of us personally because we each have a soul and you're responsible for your soul and I'm responsible for my soul. That's God's opinion. Philippians 2 and 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So let's talk about a few details in just a few minutes we have left. You are responsible for you. As a parent, you are responsible for your children as long as they are in your house. They are to be obedient to you as long as they are under your control in your house. So, as a parent, you're not only responsible for yourself, but for your children. What is your opinion on matters such as marriage outside the church? The use of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription drugs? Abortion? How to treat a former member of the church who has been withdrawn from? Dancing? How men and women or kids should dress. When you should be at church services. What you should watch or not watch on television or the internet or a play that you might go to. How to raise children. That's a huge subject, isn't it? What about the support of institutions other than the church that teach the Bible and produce teachers and preachers, commonly called Christian colleges? Or what about orphanages supported by the church, a church? What's God's opinion on those things? Do you know what it is? What type of persons you should associate with? How much time and money to spend on recreation? What about playing the lottery? That's a politically correct term for gambling. The state doesn't use the term gambling either. They call it gaming. And now, not only is it legal to gamble in many different forms in the state of Missouri, but for many years there have been illegal gambling devices in bars and restaurants and stuff. They're machines that are so-called under the table. It's illegal to actually play for money. But it's been going on for many, many years. So now the Missouri State Legislature is trying to decide, well, we're missing out on all this money. We better make this legal. And it's probably going to happen. Because what they're doing is they're saying, they're admitting, we can't control it. Now, because it's illegal, we can't stop it, so we better say, yeah, it's legal. Now we'll get the money from it. That's exactly what happens with alcohol, tobacco, and other vices. If you can't control it, at least get the money out of it. Well, that's what man does. What's God's opinion on these things? Do you know what it is? If you don't, you better find out, because God wants you to. God wants you to know, and you will be faced with these decisions if you haven't already, and I know many of us already have. All these answers are waiting in God's Word. They're waiting for you to find out. God does not want us to be undecided and apathetic. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm or lazy regarding spiritual matters, or physical matters for that matter. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If we're unlearned in the Scriptures, how can we serve God correctly? Much less teach our children what to do, or those outside the church. How can we be a light to people outside the church if we don't understand what God wants me to do? So we must continue to learn and grow to be acceptable to God. That's God's opinion. And therefore, it's my opinion. And I hope it's yours also. How will you and I report to God when we stand before Him as our work as a Christian? When our life's over and we stand alone before God, will He call us a coward and lazy, like the man that was given the one talent and just dug a hole in the ground, put it in there and said, oh, Lord, I was afraid. But it's there for You, Lord. I didn't do anything with it, but You can still have it back. Or will we be like the other two men who used it, who were profitable, who did what they could and made good use of what they were given? Your opinion and learning the details about these things matter. They matter to you, they matter to your family, because we're all going to stand before God. We're all going to give account to Him, because He's our Creator, and He's the one that God's opinion and the opinion of His Son are the only opinions that matter to us whenever our life is over. So we best be finding out what God wants us to do, studying, and passing that on to our children and to our brothers and sisters around us. This morning, if you are not in God's family, if you're not in the body that Christ died for, you're lost. You need to come to God. You need to come to Him. That's God's opinion. Therefore, it is also our opinion. We want to help anyone that needs help in any way that we can. We'll do that as we stand and sing the closing song Eddie selected.